This is only a joke. After a wedding, the little ring bearer asked his father, "How many brides can the groom marry?" "One," his father said. "Why do you ask, son?" "Because the priest said he could marry 16. The boy said, puzzled. "How did you come up with that?" his father asked. "Easy, dad," the little boy said, and continued, "Dad, all you have to do is add it up, like the priest said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer." Right. In our liturgy today, we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent. All the readings today draw our attention to the importance of our Christian baptism. The first reading speaks of God's friendship covenant with Noah, which he made with Noah through the waters of the great flood. The second reading refers to the flood in Noah's time, which was a type of the waters of baptism by which we are saved. While the gospel speaks of Jesus being driven by the Holy Spirit into the desert immediately after his baptism. Now, the journey of Lent is meant to lead us to a true experience of the Paschal feast of the glorious passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, our own baptism is an integral part of this Paschal mystery, which we celebrate at Easter. So it is a journey of spiritual renewal marked by the various works of penance which we carry out as to renew and reinforce our baptismal commitments, which in turn will eventually unite us more to the risen Christ at Easter. And that is why the Mother Church urges us to take it very seriously, that even those who are trying their best to live out that their baptismal commitment, there is still room for more improvement. And then others who for some reason have slacked will take that opportunity to rise, to make use of it in order to reactivate the inner life of the Spirit they had received at baptism, which is lying dormant. Remember that our theme for this week is have patience to listen to God, who is the eye of the storm. We are constantly going through all kinds of storms in life, especially the storm of temptations. You know, for those who are really trying to live the Christian life, they have more of these temptations than those who, are taking it easy. You know, and the temptations are stronger for them as well. Many of these storms are disconcerting, causing us to derail in our attempts to reach our legitimate goals and even abandon God. So, through Lenten observances, we learn to acquire the strategies with which to master these storms, particularly through patiently listening to God, who alone provides the means. During this Lent, the Mother Church is also inviting all her children to repent, since no one is free of sin, and to engage in works of penance, to pray more, and to help more assiduously their brothers and sisters materially and spiritually. There is no doubt that some of us are making serious efforts to live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, the Mother Church, in her wisdom, is aware of one obvious reality, which is constantly an obstacle on our way to salvation, and which is inescapable. And I'm talking about the reality of temptation. Temptation is a double-edged sword. On one hand, the struggles in temptation help to strengthen our willpower to do good the more. On the other hand, it can cause our downfall if we give in to it. Temptations are not sinful in themselves. The popular meaning of temptation is enticing people to do wrong. When we think of temptations, we immediately think of bad things. It is not only evil that can lead us astray. The good can do so just effectively. In fact, all temptations come under the guise of good. All the strength of a temptation is in proportion to the attractiveness of the goal. The things that tempt us to abandon our goal are not always bad. More often than not, they are good. And that is what makes it so hard to resist them. The most painful choices are often between the good and the best. For instance, Jesus invited a rich young man to become his disciple, but he refused. It was not evil which caused him to refuse, for he had no evil then. It was something which is good in itself, and that is wealth. So, you know, there are so many other realities, you know, that we can look at as good and yet could be an occasion for us to offend God and derail. Therefore, we have as much to fear from the good as from the bad. When we see something which is manifestly evil, we are more likely to be repelled than be attracted to it, and vice versa. So the things that tempt us to abandon our goal or our Christian ideals or values are not always bad. The devil, or Satan, does not appear as a repulsive character. He appears as an attractive, charming character, even a friend. He appears to have your best interest at heart. This is why we need continually the assistance of the Holy Spirit, who is the eye of the storm and who provides us with the wisdom, the patience, and the strength to overcome all manners of temptation. You remember the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. I would recommend that we say this prayer, that prayer often. It says, "Give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference."